Right, good morning, King's Church, Selby. Hope you're all well, and most importantly, staying close to Jesus. Dave is on the mend. He was really ill last Sunday evening. The doctors gave him some more antibiotics, and praise God, he is picking up. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of him and myself for all the prayers and messages that you've sent. Shall we pray? Father God, we just thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you have indeed lavished your kindness and your love over our lives. We thank you that you've given us the best gift that we could ever want. You've given your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now. We pray that we would have ears to hear what you are revealing through your words to us in this time. We pray in your precious name. Amen. I just want to say, share, I've been gathering some words that I feel God has been speaking to me about. I have a sense in my spirit, like many of you do, that God has allowed a time such as this to teach us many things about who he is, about the world and the church, and about our relationship with him. Relationship, connection, and intimacy with God is very important to me, as I am sure it is to you all at King's Church. I'm going to say again some things I spoke about last time. When things are important, they need repeating, so we can catch everything the Holy Spirit is revealing. And we need to have ears to hear and hearts to respond. So I'm just going to read from Genesis 2, verse 7, to start off with. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden. In the east there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I just want to come back to this verse in verse 7 where it says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. What beautiful love and what intimacy. Before we went into lockdown, God was telling us he was making this intimate inspection of our hearts, looking for his lovers. Have we a sense God has been doing that with us? Has he found you to be a lover? I believe God is doing something deep in our hearts, leading us closer and closer to him, bringing a depth about us and our faith that praises and rejoices in whatever circumstances, difficulties, illnesses, because God does not change. Who he says he is, he is. His promises are trustworthy, and everything he says is true and truth. Jesus is with us always. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our guide. He brings a power and strength to us when we feel helpless, fearful, and anxious. And he says and teaches us, this is God. This is Father. This is great love, extravagant. The more we are truly loved and receive that love into our hearts, we will feel truly safe and secure. And in return, we will love and praise with great passion. This is the God of intimacy who came so close to Adam and breathed in tender intimacy and caused life to come into him. And this is what God would do for us. He bends intimately into our difficult situations, and he breathes his breath so tenderly to cause life to come into us. He wants to lay his heart upon our hearts, entwine our hearts together. Just think for a moment how beautiful and how glorious that is. This is not for the super spiritual, the elite. This is for you. This is for us all who love him, all who follow him. He wants to bring a depth of his heart to us. Linda, this week on the Facebook page, spoke beautifully about compassion and bringing glory to God. We will never understand compassion and kindness unless we have God's heart. And we will not understand his heart unless we read about him in his word, unless we pray and connect with him, worship and seek him. We need to ask him, I want your heart, God. I want you to lay your heart upon my heart. Entwine our hearts together. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do that. Let's ask. This is simple. It is not complicated. God will just say to us, come like little children. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just come right now. And we just pray and we ask you, lay your heart upon our heart. Entwine our hearts together, we pray in your name. I just want to come back to this scripture again in Genesis, and go away and read it all, because I think it'll just be really helpful to you. But in Genesis 2 verse 18, I'm just going to continue. This is what it says. Actually, I read from 21. It was when he formed Eve. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed it up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made it into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And one day when I was just having some time with God, I felt God gave me this word, and I really need you to listen very, very carefully, so that you will have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, not about anybody else, but just what he's saying to you. And so you'll just need to listen carefully to just the Holy Spirit. And this is what I felt that he said. Can you stand before me in all your nakedness, having nothing to hide behind, fully exposed, your thoughts and motives fully on show? Are you peering behind your walls? Are you so in control you could never be naked before me? I do not want to expose you or to shame you. I want you to stand before me so I can connect with you. Only in Adam and Eve's sin did they see their nakedness. Everything I created them to be was pure and unashamed. It was truly how it was meant to be. And when God gave me this word, I just felt that I really needed to ponder it. And I felt God was showing me he wants his people to come back to the garden where everything was meant to be before sin. This pleasure of just being with God and being in his presence. To be naked just simply means to be laid bare, to be vulnerable, and to allow nothing in our lives to be hidden or concealed from him. Our hearts fully on show. When we allow our thoughts and motives to be on show, we are saying, this is the true and real me. God does not want to expose or shame us. We know this by what Scripture says in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But God does want us to face ourselves and to be true and to be real. And he wants us to be people of humility. God knows where we are. He knew when Adam and Eve had sinned where they were hiding. But he still wanted them to say, when he asked the question, "Where are you?" And God is the same with us. He already knows our thoughts and our motives. He knows the complexity of our hearts, but he still wants us to face ourselves, to stand before him, because he loves us. He wants us to be able to connect with him. And if you don't, you will create a wall, like many Christians have, a wall of protection, a wall of independency, a wall of control, which you will peer over. You will never feel a sense of emotional connection with God or others. You will have a sense of loss, and that loss the enemy will use and get hold of, and you will get paranoid. He will make you feel not part of something, not good enough, just not enough. He will put a critical spirit in you to judge others. He will do anything to keep you in a place of peering, never connecting. How do I know this? Well, I know this because this was me for many, 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 many years ago. This is exactly how I was. But hallelujah, there is an answer. Face ourselves with truth. Stop blaming others and stop justifying our actions and reactions. Then repent. Say we are sorry. We need to get some humility to lay down pride and control. And if we don't, it will spiritually kill us. When we repent, the peering will stop. The walls will come down. An emotional connection will come. We cannot do this thing by just saying, "Please bring the walls down," and expect them to move. We have to acknowledge, we have to repent, and then they will come down. Stand naked before God. Be real, be vulnerable. He absolutely loves you. If we fall, God in his mercy and kindness helps us back to our feet, and it's a new day. And if you read Janet's message yesterday on the Facebook page, she talks about his new mercies being new every day. We choose when we repent to say, "God, transform my heart and mind. Exchange my thoughts and fears, my disappointments, my bitterness, my anger, and bring me into freedom, peace and joy. Take me from peering to connecting. Bring me into the freedom of the garden, to be in your presence. Oh, what perfect rest and peace." I just think that we, you know, you'll have time to just consider all those things, but shall we just pray? Because I think praying is the best thing that we'll do right now. We just want to say we want to be a church that moves forward, moves in our gifting, and moves in mission. But we know all these things come from and flow out of our hearts, hearts of connection. So we would pray today, change us. Holy Spirit, we want to look like Jesus. Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit, reveal truth to us. We need a revelation. We need a revelation to help us change and respond. We just say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And let us be a church who has ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Your precious name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a good week.